Good morning. It's wonderful to see you all. Sunny day, getting warmer. I was shaking Dick's hand earlier, and he says, "Your hand is cold." I said, "I need 100 degrees. I need a triple digits to start warming up my hands." So it's coming closer, but it's not quite there yet. And Jeff is looking at me going, "You crazy?" Well, there's somebody that might think so. It was wonderful to come and share the word with you, what the Lord has put upon my heart. As I go through these scriptures, you know, a lot of this challenges me a lot. So I don't know where you're going to be with all this, but, you know, remember, I'm not the one who wrote these things. I'm not the one who said these things. I'm just relating them to you, you know, from my heart, to what he's been teaching me as well. It's very challenging. You think it's something very easy, right? Read Bibles, nice feel-good thing and stuff like that, but it can be very challenging. It can really hit you between the eyes, and this one actually does that for me anyways. I don't know about for you, but we'll see how it goes today. Forever treasure. I remember back in Thailand, Joy and I and the boys, we were in a place we called the center. It was a big building, and we used it to help train leaders and also to do community development training, how to them to be able to raise mushrooms so they can support themselves. And so I remember, I don't know who was visiting us, but we went inside, and Joy put her purse on the kitchen table, and we went right to the room right next door, and there's no door, it was just open, right, in that area. And we were talking, and after a while, I guess we were leaving or something, and Joy got up, and purse was gone. It wasn't on the table. We were looking all around, where'd it go, you know? Well, there's a person, we never really caught him or saw him, but this guy lived next door. He was able to leap over the fence somehow, and this was a pretty tall fence. The Thai can be very agile, as we found out, and, you know, took her purse. Now, we found her purse in an old broken-down commode. Everything was in it except for the money, so he took what he wanted, and he left the other stuff behind. But it kind of made you think, you know, things that we treasure and value, you know, sometimes we just leave it there. We don't see everything. We don't look beyond ourselves, you know, but, you know, the treasures in this world can be easily taken from us. You know, we treasure things, but things can happen. And, you know, a fire or a thief or whatever, and it's gone. You know, so it's something that, you know, Jesus, when he was teaching these people and stuff like that, this is, he doesn't look at the matters of, you know, he didn't want to be the arbiter between this guy he's calling out into from the crowd saying, "Hey, help me, you know, my brother, help him, tell him to divide the inheritance," you know. But Jesus speaks to the matters of the heart. And that's what we'll be looking at today as well. Let's see if I can actually use this, get this moving here. So forever treasure. It wasn't a red purse, was it? It wasn't, no. No, because I don't know if that was it or not. So I mean, but you know, and you know, when we read through the scripture, thank you, Bruce. You know, the very last sentence is really the main principle of this whole thing. In fact, the last three sermons pretty much is pretty much what it is. You know, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I mean, that is a true thing. You know, yeah. Where my heart is, a lot of times, the big mother load, they call it the mother load, you know. I told you, how many times have I showed you this? You know, it's on my heart. You know, where's my treasure? You know, my heart is there. You know, I still remember that. And then, you know, of course, you know, our possessions, our money and things like that, you know, we treasure that. You know, that's a treasure. Our heart's always thinking about that, budgeting and doing all these things, going, you know, do we spend just a little bit more money to go on vacation, or to go to McDonald's, or, you know, McDonald's. Well, let's not talk about that. And, you know, a family, you know, people can be treasures, right? People can be treasures in our lives. And stuff like that, you know, but, you know, today, you know, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So true. Wouldn't you say so? The thing is, there's a couple of bad news and some good news Bad news first is the treasures on earth we can't take with us. I don't care how much you got of this, how many mother loads you're storing away in your refrigerator or freezer or whatever, or all the family that you got, or all the money and what cars and whatever else, all the guns you got, all the deer heads hanging on your wall and the bear rugs and all that stuff. You can't take it with you. All right? You can't take it with you. Once you're gone, they're gone. And it's somebody else's, and what they're going to do with it, you don't know. Okay, another thing, and it's just, you know, it's just one of those, you know, it's just, you just think about how, you know, not only can you not take it with you, but then it can be destroyed. It can be destroyed by, like we said, fire, earthquake, just things just break apart, you know, thief comes in and takes it. Maybe one day I had a bottle that, well, supposedly it was Mount St. Helens volcanic ash. It was probably just charcoal dust, but you know, somebody sold it to you know, I was just a teenager, come on. And when my Dodgers, they were playing the St. Louis Cardinals and they lost, they were like 7 or 8 runs ahead in the 9th inning, then they lost a game. I took that little vial of dust. You know, I got a good arm, and I just winged that baby, and it just exploded. You know, and there, that was it. Our volcanic ash from Mount St. Helens is gone. You know, it just went up, went all over the couches, the shoes, and whatever else, you know, had to get the vacuum cleaner, that was it. You know, so things like that can happen, right? So with things we treasure, we have to be careful. The good thing is that as Christians, we have opportunity to store treasure in a place where it won't be ever destroyed or a thief taken away from us. So that's what we'll be looking at today. So, question, and we'll look at this again, but where is my treasure? Where is it? That's a question to ask ourselves. Right? And how can I get this forever treasure? You know, that sounds good, doesn't it? This forever treasure, a treasure that doesn't ever, nobody can ever take away from us and never die out on us, and it won't ever be destroyed in any way. Well, let's pray before we continue on. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth that is in it and that it penetrates our hearts and it gets down to the depths of our souls. I pray, Lord, that you'll just continue to teach us and guide us, Lord, as we learn about the matters of the heart, our own hearts before you. And Lord, I pray that as you open our hearts, Lord, that your voice will be heard, that you will teach us, you will challenge us, you will transform us into people who are more like you. So we just pray that you bless these words and that your name be honored and glorified in it. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. So, Jesus is a teacher, so, you know, this guy calls out and he's not going to go after to be an arbiter. He doesn't want to give, but he wants to talk. You know, he's a teacher, so he's going to look for teaching moments. So now he's going right into this teaching moment. He's going to tell a parable. You know, a parable isn't a true story, all right? So with a parable, why Jesus liked the parables is because he can highlight certain things. He can emphasize certain things. He can exaggerate to catch our attention, right? And so in this, so he's telling this this parable about a rich fool. Now, this meaning of the word fool, it can, you know, mean that, you know, you're just stupid, you're not seeing things, you know, you're acting silly, you're just missing the whole point, something right in front of you. And it also can mean, and I think it was in the Greek there, it was that somebody that just rebelling against God's teaching about the truths of what he's teaching. And that's foolish as well. So this guy, he had land, and he had a great bumper crop, and he was celebrating, going, "Oh, dude, I got so much stuff! I don't know what to do with it." You know, so, and then have you noticed something? There's a focus on self. You know, he said, you know, first of all, Jesus says, "Watch out, all right, for all types of greed," because now he's going to talk about this. But now he's saying, if you look at that story again, there's a lot of I's and a lot of my's going on here with that story, isn't there? You know, I will tear down my barns. This is what I'll do. There I will store my surplus, and I'll say to myself, and it's just I and my. So there's just a complete focus. You know, greed has a way to cause us to think about me, myself, and I. I don't know about you, but when I get hungry for my mother load, you know, I get a little greedy and I want to take more slices than anybody else. You know, I'm thinking about me. I'm not thinking about Joy or Nolan or Cam. I'm thinking about me. I need another slice. It's me, myself, and I. That's the most important thing there. So that focus gets in there. And greed, actually, if you look at Ephesians 5:5, I'll just read that for you. Here it says this: "For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." Those are powerful words. So really what it comes down to, greed is idolatry. Because what you're doing is, because you're so focused upon yourself and whatever that is you're greedy after at that moment, you know, where Christ used to sit on your heart, you're bumping them off, saying, Jesus, move aside because mother load is coming. You know, I got this. I want this. This is important to me more than you, Jesus. So that becomes an idol in our lives. And as it says here, people who are idolaters, they're not going to go into the kingdom of God. They're not going to be able to store treasures, those forever treasures in heaven, because they won't be able to receive them at all. So this rich fool, you know, and a lot of our pride and our self-focus and self-indulgence, you know, they're sitting back, going, you know, I got this. This is great. You know, everything is going well. And I got the barns, and now let's just sit back and live the good life. And then Jesus comes in with his boom. You know, he says, "Oh, you fool." You know, he brings God in, and God's saying, "You fool, your very soul is mine tonight. And what are you going to do with all that stuff you got in those barns? And who's going to do with it?" Right? Who's going to inherit it? Because it's certainly not you. So he's really coming after him. See, when we get in these modes, we start just thinking about ourselves, that we got everything under control. See, our whole life is planned. All our future, we got it under control. But Jesus is saying, nope, you don't. Because what you have can be taken away from you in an instant. So there's more to it. Right? There's more to it. And of course, we'll get into that a little bit more. Another thing here, you know, he should have, you know, even for us and a rich fool, you know, which could be us, you know, at times. And in Psalm 39, I'll read that, just these three verses here. It says this: "Show me, Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting my life is. You have made my days a mere handbreadth. The span of my years is as nothing before you. Everything is but a breath." Oh, I'm sorry. "Everyone is but a breath, even those who seem secure. Surely everyone goes around like a mere phantom. In vain they rush about, heaping up wealth without knowing whose it will finally be." It's pretty convicting. But I think it's a good thing that we go back and we just look and humble ourselves and really get a good look at ourselves and say, you know, we don't have control. We don't have control of everything in our lives. And we have to have number our days, know that they are numbered. We don't know how long we have, but we have to live like every day, every moment is a very precious gift in itself. So Jesus, you know, as he went through that, he said, you know, don't get all hung up in all these things in this world, you know. And then he goes on even into worry, you know. He says, don't get hung up on this stuff, you know. Don't worry. Don't you know. I don't know. And when I was in architecture, less is more, you know, the minimalist, you know. And you know, he's saying, you know, less is more. You know, look at those birds, you know, these ravens who are really in the Jewish religion, they are unclean. Yeah, but God cares even for these unclean birds. How much more will he care for you? And then his talk goes down to the flowers in the field. Says, look at these wildflowers. You know, they're more beautiful than anything that Solomon could put on. And yet, and before long, they're going to be just tossed into the furnace and burned. But then how much more are you valuable than these beautiful flowers? So he's teaching, you know, just less is more. These things, you're valuable beyond. You know, don't worry about these basic things in your life. Sometimes we worry about some people, you know, I remember still when I was growing up and stuff like that, you know, I wanted to be taller, you know, because I played a lot of sports, and I tell you, it was hard to play those big guys, especially in basketball. And I was one of the guys that was close to the basket in low post, they call it. I couldn't keep those guys away from that basket too easy. I always go, man, why can't I be a few inches taller? You know, that's always on my mind. But I never got taller. You know, he said, don't worry about that stuff. I got you. There's other things that are more important. You know, life is more important than growing a few more inches. You know, you don't, might not see that. In fact, we get all mixed up. Everything gets so self, you know, our worry, our greed, we get so self, the mirrors right here, me, me, myself, and I. And you can't see beyond. You can't see beyond yourself. Worry takes our eyes off of God. Did you know that? Greed takes our eyes off of God. Do you remember those Roman soldiers when Jesus was hanging on the cross? What were they doing? They were gambling for his clothes, his possessions. They were so greedy, they needed just, they were gambling, having fun over that. And maybe some were worried, you know, I don't have enough clothes, stuff like that. You know, in the shadow of the cross, they could not look beyond their own greed, their own selfishness, and see that there is someone who will give them riches beyond imagination that would never be destroyed, that a thief can never take away. One of the thieves on the cross understood it after a while, and he was in paradise with Jesus. But these guys just couldn't see. You know, our hearts get so bound up in our little world that we forget what's beyond. Our you know, what Randy was saying, you know, the pain and things like that. Tragedies happen, like down in Texas, you know. We get so wrapped up and our world just gets kind of, you know, condensed into so self-focused, you know, but it's hard for us to look beyond that hurt and pain and suffering. But Christ did. Through all that hurt and pain and suffering, and betrayal and all that stuff, he looked beyond. See, that's why he went on the cross willingly, because he knew what was beyond. And he's saying, hey guys, come on. Open up your eyes, open up your hearts. There's something beautiful. There's riches for you beyond what you have here on earth. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. So you cannot see beyond yourself. You know, have you been there? have you been to that moment to where you're just so focused upon your job or trying to get something done, and or you're preparing for a party and you're just so focused, but you forget what's beyond? I still remember that time we had friends over for Thanksgiving, and I was just, you know, we had a good meal. I was so focused upon getting all that I was the dishwasher, so getting all that, I mean, there's a lot of stuff to wash, right, on Thanksgiving Day. I was missing out on my friends. I was in there for a half an hour to an hour, and they were out there talking and stuff like that. I missed out. I could have put that stuff aside, said, I could have told them, hey, I'll get this to you another day. I just want to sit with you and talk. That's what we got together for, you know. And, you know, Jesus is saying, well, life is not measured by how much we own. You know, as Americans, we have to really be careful of this. You know, how many, I can't remember some of these people I know that have a lot of money and they have, I don't know how many cars, 15, 20 cars. And they say, oh, maybe for every day of the month, I'm going to drive this car. You know, I'm sitting there going, oh, you know, guys, you're missing it. You know, you're missing something. You know, and Jesus is saying, you know, your life is not measured by how much you own. It's not. If it was, there'd be a lot more competition. There'd be a lot more grabbing, you know, even though there's still a lot going on today as it is, but there'd be things would be really different there. But then there'd be a lot of people that don't have enough. And they feel like their lives are low enough. And we're, you know, I think a lot of people are in that spot because they look at their neighbors, they go, oh, they got all that. Oh, look at that big house now he built on. And oh, look at our little house and go, ugh. They measure their lives compared to that. And they go, oh, I'm not that good, am I? I'm not that worthy. A lot of people, you know, they look at what they own or what got in their life and they start going, I don't have any worth. We have to be very careful in that situation, you know, because there's so much around us, so many temptations. And then at the end there, you know, talking with the teaching about the rich fool, Jesus comes up, you know, says, yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth but not have a rich relationship with God. And some people say, well, what is this treasures in heaven? Okay, what, you know, so you're talking about all this stuff, and we know that, you know, where your treasure is, your heart is there also. And you talk about, well, what is this treasure? Well, for me, I don't know for a few, but one of the treasures for me would be eternal life, you know, without sin and without pain, without death, without all this competition, without all these worries, anything else, you know, all these concerns. And, you know, that's a great reward for me. You know, and if you look at Revelations chapter 2 and 3, you can probably pick up on some other things. Those who overcome, you know, they're given a crown, a victory crown. You know, some get to be to eat from the tree of life. You know, they get a new name. You get to wear these beautiful white robes. You get to eat the manna from heaven, right there with Jesus, that wonderful communion with Jesus and all the saints, right? And there's reward after reward. They say, well, what is that? You know, storing treasures in heaven. You know, what is that? Well, first of all, if you look back at this passage here, you know, Jesus mentions, you know, how can we be rich toward God? How can we store those treasures in heaven? Well, first of all, we better get our eyes on Him. We got to get our eyes off of ourselves and all of our worries and all the things that are wants, you know, and all that stuff. And we got to get them on God, His kingdom. You know, seek God's kingdom. You know, there, Matthew 6:33, you know, seek His kingdom first and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So all those things that you need, those daily needs, are going to be there. And maybe sometimes, you know, I look at some people, even in other nations, they might be Christians and stuff like that, and sometimes they really do lack even water. You know, but then God, by His grace, continues to provide even for their needs in those desperate situations. But seeking His kingdom, you know, takes a, you know, a change in us. Change right here in the matters of our heart. You know, to start turning away from me, myself, and I, and start turning our eyes to something beyond ourselves and what we have and what we want. And that's God, because He is the one who provides perfectly for us. So seeking His kingdom is certainly very important. And we'll talk a little bit more about that too. And so, and then, you know, saying, He says here, says, well, sell your possessions and give it to the poor. You know, there in verse 33, but it, notice that it didn't say sell all your possessions. See, we're not supposed to become poor either, right? But we are to be generous. These people with 15 cars, maybe they only need 3. And maybe they can sell that and start helping some other people, you know, investing in kingdom building in some way. So, and also, you know, in all the scripture and this passage talking about the birds and talking about the grass and all this other, you know, just don't worry, because God cares for us. He knows what we need. He says, don't be like the pagans. Don't go running after these things like the pagans. You know, don't do as the Romans do. Follow me. Do as I do. Know that God cares. You know, build that relationship. Get rich towards God. Start turning your eyes from yourself and start turning, you know, again to that communication with God and prayer and His Word and fellowship with the saints. And just and the joy of sharing the hope that you have in Christ with others. You know, I was talking to Barry just a little bit ago. You know, Barry and Suzanne, their lives, you know, have been poured out in so many people's lives and generation after generation because of their kindness, their joy in teaching people how to work, how to play music. You know, that impacts lives. That is kingdom building. That's kingdom building right there. That's what God desires us to do. Take the focus off ourselves and place it upon God and others. How can we do that? How can we do that? You know, so the challenge is that. So the challenge is, where is your treasure? So, you know, you might need to take some time. Maybe this next day or two or three or four, or maybe this summer. Check out your heart. You know, where is it? Where's my treasure? You know, sometimes it is our jobs. You know, we treasure it so much. We enjoy it so much. And we just so focus upon it. And then we forget. We forget that, you know, God is in us. You know, we want to be rich towards God. So we want to store those treasures in heaven. Well, then we better start building into the people around us at our job by praying. I know Joy prays for so many people when she goes to work. You know, people in our community, people at our schools. You know, we have so many people around us. You know, you want a friends, you know, and stuff. And you care about your friends. Well, build into them. You know, speak the words of Christ to them. Pray for them. You know, we have to start getting off of ourselves and what we want from our friends and what we want from this world and start turning about and giving it to God and saying, I'm going to seek your desires. I'm going to seek your will. And I'm going to be a kingdom builder. We have to be, you know, focused upon that. So where is your treasure? So, you know, do you treasure your job? Do you treasure, you know, the things that you have, your monies, your bank book and all that stuff? Well, then, you know, you might need to look about, you know, how can I use what God has given me so abundantly to build God's kingdom? Sometimes it's investing in some people in a ministry so they can carry on, you know, what God has for them, or people overseas, you know, doing ministries overseas. Sometimes it's getting involved in a local program helping the youth or the poor who need to learn job skills, things like that. You know, so we have to think beyond ourselves and what God gives us, you know, that we can use that. And I tell you, as you build in the people, you're building into God's kingdom, and you're storing these treasures. I don't know what these treasures look like other than what I just said. I mean, there's something more up there. All right, there's something more. But I believe that when you're rich towards God, it's a beautiful relationship that when we meet Him face to face, it's just going to get that much richer. That much richer. Our families can be treasures. We have to be careful not to hold on too tight. Sometimes we got to let them go, right? But we need to build into them. You know, are we teaching them about Jesus? Are we encouraging them to seek the Lord? Are we praying for them? You know, those treasured people in our lives. That's how you build into the kingdom of God. Right there, we need to start looking at our lives and see where our treasure is, and then see some of those treasures might be something that's distracting us. You know, entertainment or things like that from building into God's kingdom. So we might need to go, that has to become less. And then I need to turn my eyes on some other things that will build into God's kingdom. So a lot of things we have to evaluate. You know, this summer is a good time. Things change a little bit in a rhythm, especially for families. You know, the kids are home and stuff like that. But it's time, no matter what, to really say, well, where is my treasure? And if it's not really in God, then I need to start changing some things. If I'm not thinking about building into the kingdom of God, I need to ask God for a guidance and direction to open up some different things. See, when Jesus met the lady there at the well, the Samaritan lady, he said this. He said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. See, she had no clue who she had right before him. Just like those guys, those Roman soldiers at the cross had no clue who was hanging on the cross. She had no clue who Jesus was and the riches that were right there in front of her, that the living water for eternity. She didn't know. Peter, Judas didn't really quite grasp it either, did they? Judas betrayed Jesus. Peter wasn't much better, denying him 3 times. But there's a difference between how they responded. See, Judas, he didn't know the treasure that he had in Jesus. He didn't know that there was forgiveness there. He couldn't go to Jesus, so he killed himself. He didn't have that rich relationship with him. But Peter did. See, Peter walked with Jesus even after. You know, he might have been startled at first, stuff like that, but Jesus restored him 3 times, right? Remember that? Restored him 3 times. And then if you looked at Peter's life after that, he was transformed. And to be a kingdom builder. He was focused upon himself at that point, but now he became a kingdom builder. See, he knew the treasure that he had before him. And he was able to humble himself and repent. And, it wasn't easy being restored 3 times. He's going, Jesus, why did you ask a 3rd time? That really hurt me. That hurt my pride. But thank you, Jesus, for hurting my pride and turning my eyes to the riches of Jesus. So, when we put our purse on the table and walk off and you think it's all safe and secure, well, you know what? You better start looking beyond what's going on in your life, all right? Because it could be taken. So start building. Look at your life. Look at your life and see where you need to start pushing some things out of there or pushing them down lower in the priority list and start putting other things up that will build into the kingdom of God. And those riches are waiting for you and for those you are building into as well. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your word and for the hope and just your mercy and grace that you have built into us. Why? I don't understand. And why would you choose me? But Father, I pray that you'll just empower us. Help us to spend those times and just to think about these things before you and where our treasures are. Because we know our heart is going to be there where our treasure is. So, Lord, Father, help us to move our eyes, move our hearts to you, to see where you want us to be, where you want our hearts to be, where our treasure is. And may that treasure be with you. May we be rich with you in our relationship with you. And Lord, as you bless us, and you do, Lord, you bless us to be a blessing to others. And so we can be these kingdom builders, these people who love people, who accept people, where people will just desire to come. Just like we said earlier today, Sam said, Lord, Father, about, you know, everybody flocks, sinners flock to you, Jesus. Lord, may we live our lives in such a way that sinners will flock to us because we are accepting, because we are kingdom focused, because they are treasures to us and we're willing to build into them for your glory. We praise you and thank you in Jesus Christ's name, and all his people say, amen.